Our next presenter is Rachel Powell. Rachel Powell is a PhD candidate in health promotion and behavior at the University of Georgia. Go Bulldogs. Her research interests include breastfeeding, food marketing, childhood obesity, health and media literacy, and health education and communication. Thank you very much, Rachel.
Thank you guys for being here. As he said, I currently am a PhD student, and this is not my dissertation research, but it is a project that I worked on my first year. And as I go through the slides, you'll see, it's a two-part project, and I presented the first part of it at last year's APHA, and so this is the second part of it. So I'll be able to explain a little bit of the context as we go along. But I want to say thank you to both because you both did a great job of talking about breastfeeding and setting the stage for it. But as most of you know, breastfeeding is recognized as the preferred method by several national and international organizations. And I thought that this, my advisor and I thought that this was a great slide only because Healthy People 2010 objectives were set. And it was interesting to me that while most people did not reach any of those objectives, we've been challenged as breastfeeding researchers to push ourselves. As you see, the 2020 objectives are higher. So for all of the categories, which is breastfeeding initiation, breastfeeding at 6 months, breastfeeding at 1 year, exclusively breastfeeding through 3 months, and exclusively breastfeeding through 6 months. So we all have a big challenge on our hands that we need to take care of. And so this is a map, and it's from the CDC baby-friendly facilities, and it shows that we do not have a lot of baby-friendly facilities. And I think when we talk about clinicians, that's a huge thing to take into account, considering most of these clinicians are working in hospitals, but yet overall the larger context that they're working in is not supported. And so, again, I challenge us, being from Georgia, I'm in Georgia right now, we have zero. So we have a lot of work to do. I know that a lot of different states are working on increasing and adding those, but this is something to keep in mind. And so this slide is from MPINC, and it shows the percentage of U.S. hospitals with recommended policies and practices that support breastfeeding. It compares data from 2007 to 2009. And so in almost all of the categories that you see, we have increased, so that's a great thing and shows that we are hopefully working in the right direction. The only two categories where it stayed the same is prenatal breastfeeding education and post-discharge support, which as we know, that can be difficult, but all of these things we need to work towards. So based on the literature, clinician education and support is very important, but it's not always there. Poor support from clinician staff leads to decrease in confidence in breastfeeding. So we know that there's two parts. We need the support from the social people in the mother's lives as well as the clinician staff to be supportive of breastfeeding. Many women express dissatisfaction with how the health professionals communicated infant feeding, and so an area of mine that I'm interested in is health literacy and health communication, and I think that it's important because we have a lot of organizations that are making handouts and have pamphlets, but if it's not communicated properly or if it's not used properly, it doesn't matter if these handouts exist. They need to be explained. We need to make sure that they're correct health literacy levels and that they are tailored towards the population that we're trying to reach. And the Surgeon General, Dr. Regina M. Benjamin, released a call to action in January 2011. And a quote from there I thought was interesting is that clinicians should ensure they are properly trained to care for breastfeeding mothers and babies. So a lot of the literature that I looked at said that even though breastfeeding is talked about in medical schools, it might be a couple of the lectures, and it's not something that's made a priority. And so it's difficult for them to make it a priority when they get out into the field because it wasn't made a priority within the medical schools. So that might be somewhere that we need to take a step back and not just, I don't want to say criticize, but offer opportunities for the clinicians, but we need to take a step back and talk to who's making the curriculum for these clinicians. So the overall goal of the project was to gain a holistic understanding of the current breastfeeding practice, promotion and support experiences of both mothers and clinicians in Athens-Clarke County. So the first objective is lighter because that was the objective of the presentation that I did at APHA last year. But for this particular presentation, we'll focus on objective 2 and 3, which is interviewing clinicians to understand their current roles in breastfeeding promotion and support within the hospital and the clinic, and then identifying areas of improvement and cues to action for those clinicians. So I am at University of Georgia, but the professor that I worked with is Dr. Alex Anderson in Foods and Nutrition. So we worked really closely with WIC in Athens-Clarke County and Athens Regional Medical Center and St. Mary's Hospital, which are the two hospitals that are located in our area. And so throughout this project, we really were able to build a partnership and gain entrance into these two hospitals to be able to talk to their clinicians that are there. So the way that we recruited for the clinicians part, and this is the data that I'm showing today, is that it was really convenient. We were able to use the WIC coordinator and have her send out emails to try to recruit. She was really plugged in to the Athens-Clarke County area, and she knew a lot of the clinicians at the different hospitals. So she was able to help us, help solicit people who would be a great participant in this. And so they were initially contacted by a letter that was sent via email. And then once they said, yes, I would like to participate, I sent an email to them to set up a time that worked with their schedules. So for our sample, we did in-depth qualitative interviews. We had 2 pediatricians, 1 OBGYN, 2 WIC nurses, 2 lactation consultants, and 2 midwives. And they came from 2 local WIC clinics, 2 local hospitals, and 3 private offices. And so this project did go through IRB at University of Georgia, and the data was collected using an interview guide that was developed by the research team that was made up of community partners, a couple graduate students, and the WIC coordinator. And so all of them were interviewed in their offices. They were asked where they wanted to be interviewed, and that was easiest for them. We had a huge range, 20 minutes to 1 hour to 20 minutes. The doctors tend to be the shortest interviews because they could only give us a little slither of time during their lunch as they're eating. I'm like trying to talk to them. So, and the hour and 20 minutes was the WIC nurse because she was just so passionate and she kept telling so many wonderful stories. So that's why the range is kind of wide, and all the interviews were transcribed and coded. So the 4 themes that we came up with were time, knowing their role, conflicting information, and knowing your audience. So for the first theme, time is limited and breastfeeding isn't always a top priority. So the first quote says, oh, there's never enough time for everything, and then she kind of laughed about it because I asked her, you know, how do you feel like time plays a huge part in the breastfeeding education or support that you are giving? And almost all of them said, you know, there's never enough time for everything. And the second quote says, you have to kind of prioritize. I mean, usually the first few visits, feeding is a priority, but I mean, if the parents are coming in with other concerns or other big things, then they are time consuming. The feeding doesn't always get the time that one would like in an ideal world. And so that was stated by a doctor. She stated that, you know, she wants to talk about feeding, she wants to make it a priority, but oftentimes they're coming in with these bigger concerns, and, you know, next thing you know, the baby is coming, and so they never got to go back to breastfeeding. Knowing their role, many clinicians felt it was the lactation consultant's priority to be first point of contact. I'm not really sure if it's my job to break down all their barriers. And so this was stated by an OBGYN, and I thought that this was interesting because he really saw his role as being an advocate and having the mother being first priority. And I thought that was interesting because the more he talked, you could tell that in his care there was like a true disconnect. He didn't see any type of issues with the baby as his concern. I attend to the mother, I attend to her needs. And I think that that's interesting because this mother, when she's pregnant, there's a baby growing inside of her, and then once the baby is born, there's a baby that's a part of her, and they're one and the same. And so while he was an advocate and known in the community for an advocate for being a breastfeeding advocate, when I talked to him about it, he really tried to stray away from it because he didn't see it as his role. And I think that that can be a huge issue, because even though they can be an advocate in the care that they're giving, they're not making it a priority. So another point was, others said that it was an all-inclusive mission. Nurses, doctors, whoever else is in the room. I think it takes a lot of people saying the same message because no one person can do everything there. So it was interesting to see the type of clinician that they were and where they really saw themselves in how much care, education, and support they should be giving. The third theme is conflicting information. Many clinicians give conflicting information. The first quote is, oh yeah, some of it. I mean, it's formula companies, but they're stuff to help them breastfeed. So yeah, if they're going to give me something to help my patients, I'll pass it on to them. I'll tell them where it comes from too. So this was in response to formula. If we asked if we asked them if they gave out education or supplies from formula companies. And this clinician saw no issue in it. She's like, I'm an advocate for breastfeeding, but I'm going to also give them stuff that they send me from the formula companies because it helps them to breastfeed. So while the clinicians don't see that as like a mixed message, obviously mothers can see that as a mixed message. All of you girls' faces are like, what? That doesn't make any sense. So why would you be giving them something from a formula company if you're trying to have them breastfeed? So that can be very confusing to a new mom, especially a mom who is not sure what she's going to do and is confused by the whole experience. So another quote was, many said that they recommend rooming in. So they said that they recommended this rooming in, but then they also said, you know, if the mom is tired, then I'm going to have the nursery take the mom away. So again, like very conflicting information that if you're a new mom or if you're not sure what you're going to do, then it can be very confusing. And the last theme is know your advice. Being aware of your audience will ensure your information is appropriately tailored to them. If you start with someone who is concerned about failure, as soon as they experience a wall, they will really struggle with it. So this was a WIC nurse who was saying that she likes to kind of take the temperature of the patient when they come in, see what their concerns are, see what their issues are, see what kind of personality they have, and base what she tells them and the type of information she gives them based on what she gets from that temperature reading. So I think that that's important because different mothers respond to different types of advice or information in different ways. And another quote is, it depends on the population you are talking about. The educated university moms are usually gung-ho and do fine with it. My Hispanic patients support breastfeeding and will start breastfeeding but are horrible about supplementing. So again, it really depends on the individual mother that you're talking to. It being that we're in Athens, we have a lot of educated university moms who are passionate about breastfeeding, so they don't have issues with breastfeeding. But we also have a wide variety and diverse people, and you need to know who you're talking to better tailor it. So what can you do? So inform them to expect the unexpected, educate and empower them that and increase the self-efficacy, and accept the mother's goal. I think as a clinician, that's important. We had a lot of clinicians say that, you know, they really push for breastfeeding, but once they go back to work, but they also had moms who were working in chicken factories. And so once they went back to work, that was not difficult. And so once the clinicians start pushing, oh, you need to, you know, keep pumping, well, then the mother didn't want to see them anymore because you're not understanding where I'm coming from. You're not understanding the context that I'm in, that I work in a factory. That's not feasible. So the goals need to be realistic for the mom and continue in working with the workplace policies, especially within hospitals. I know that in Athens, the two hospitals we have are working to build a better system, because once they discharge, they know that there's an issue and that the breastfeeding rates drop. So they're trying to build more community-based programs to continue that breastfeeding research. So the recommendation is diversifying the breastfeeding education and including non-traditional topics such as self-advocacy in the hospital setting. A lot of WIC nurses talk about that moms don't know how to advocate for themselves, and so I think that it would be great if the clinicians could help them and teach them how to be more of an advocate for themselves within that setting when there's so many people doing things for you and trying to help you and giving you different kinds of advice. More prominence of clinical breastfeeding supporters in communities and text message email reminders about mother support group. I think that it would be great if clinicians could somehow, they talked about email and text messages with their patients, but somehow continue to encourage the moms to either sign up for it or offer that kind of program through their hospital or wherever they work. So I just wanted to say thank you to the clinicians for their time, especially the doctors when they slid me in and sharing their stories. And thank you to Dr. Anderson, who worked closely with me and gave me guidance. And here is my contact information, and you guys are more than welcome to email me if you have any questions about the project or the results. Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of the nurses, especially like the WIC nurses, they said that the participants were nervous about going into the hospital and didn't know really how to handle that because that they knew that their family was going to be there, the nurses were going to be there, the doctors were going to be there. So when I mentioned that, I was saying that the clinicians, especially maybe like the lactation consultants and the WIC nurses who work closely with the moms for greater amount of time, to teach them like what they can do, what their rights are in the hospital, because a lot of the moms don't know that they can, like, don't know about the signs that they can put on the child's basket to say, like, no, I'm a breastfeeder. They don't know about things like that.
So they were entering the hospital wanting to breastfeed, mm-hmm.
Yes, because they were nervous. They like, I want to breastfeed, but I'm nervous about
the hospital policy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Thanks.
Yes.
Do you feel like that I need to change my education based on that temperature, or that, well, university moms be fine, might actually contribute to some of the issue because I think if you think you need to mentally change your script or
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Someone who is maybe not a university mom.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, assuming that the university moms will be fine, and those tend to be, you know, type A neurotic,
mm-hmm.
obsessive people,
mm-hmm.
who might actually need to have it broken down a little bit more than assuming, well, we're educated, we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that might be an issue that they need to, that clinicians need to think about, is that
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that when the WIC nurse said that, I think that taking a temperature, no matter who you are, just knowing where you're coming from and your context and what you think and what you're nervous about would be a great idea for all clinicians. I think that doctors don't often think about that because they don't have time to think about that, and maybe they don't think that it would be helpful. But I do think that as making assumptions that university... I think it could, but I think when in the context in the interview, when she was saying about taking temperature, she was saying not understanding like their SCS level, but what are their concerns as a mother with breastfeeding? Do they have a mom who's saying, no, don't breastfeed? I think that's important to know what to say to her, not a temperature on what is your reading level, what kind of education, not that kind of temperature, no. Do we have time for more? Okay, yes?
1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the IBCLC?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them further on, In your survey or your interview, did you ask them, do they know the light community?
We asked, you know, what community resources do you know about? And a lot of them, almost all of them, mentioned La Leche League, and that they knew that we had La Leche League. And we used to have, at the time that I did this, we used to have a early parenting center that was really good in the community. Unfortunately, it was privately owned, so it closed down. But they mentioned that center, too. And so we did ask them about the community resources, and are you aware of them? So, yes.
Thank you, everyone, and there'll be more time after our next presentation.